shipped out a half a truckload of coating. So the roofing season is starting to gear up. And I would just encourage you this time of the year with all the ag orders also going out, don't wait until the day before you need the product and then place an order and expect it to happen overnight. So as soon as you know that you have a truckload or a half a truckload put together, get those orders in as quickly as possible. And the more that we help those people at the sales center and in the shipping department, the better off that we will all be. So get those orders in as quickly as you know that you have a truckload together and when you want delivery on that. Well, as many of you know, we've done quite a series of calls on how to market, how to bid, and how to do direct mail, websites. And now we've got all these things done, and now what we need to be doing is putting out bids by the dozens and dozens, and after a while you'll have 100 bids in your briefcase, and that's what you need to be doing in order to land some jobs. But I know especially for our new people on the call this evening, some of this is brand new to you, and you are going to go do the very best job that you know how in doing a bid presentation. You're going to demonstrate your product. You're going to do everything right, and you're going to throw that bid over on the desk, and then you're going to be quiet, and then there's going to be some yeses that come right out and sign the contract, and they're ready to do their job. And also, with that, along with that, we're going to get some objections. And so I've invited a very, very successful person that I've got to know well, very well, stayed in their home many times and became a very good friend with this individual. And on very short notice, he agreed to come on the call this evening. And we're going to talk about how to overcome some of those objections. So I want to say a big thank you to Elias Raber. Welcome to the call from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Lester.
Well, it's great to have you on the call, and thanks for taking time out of your schedule. And so I'm a building owner. I have a 10,000-square-foot roof. You did all the demos. You did everything correct, and you handed in a bid. And whatever your bid is, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to say your bid is $3,000 higher than another contractor bid on this roof. I'm the building owner. I'm going to shut up.
Okay. So you're saying now you just told me, you know, my $20,000, $25,000 bid, $3,000 higher than a competitor, right?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. So number one, what of most important that we need to understand is a lot of times we build or make our own objections. And so If you're consistently, if you're taking notes, write this down. But if you're consistently getting a client or a customer that you're bidding a roof for, if you're consistently getting, that's too much money. If you're consistently getting that, then I would say there's a problem. And the number one problem is you're not building the value of your product or your services. So that's the number one thing that you want to do is be able to know how to bring value to your contract. You know, a lot of building owners, they say this, they're like, well, you know, we need to make sure we're bidding apples to apples. And I'm not scared to tell a building owner that I don't want to bid apples to apples. What I want to bid is apples to oranges, because I want to show you what I can do that I feel is quite a bit better than, our competitor out there. But if you can show, so let's just go back to your $3,000 higher. You're not going to run another company down because you can't ever sell a Chevy by down and a Ford. That's not how it's going to work. So what you have to do, again, is you have to bring value to your system. So I would ask Mr. Building Owner, if he says, well, you're $3,000 higher than your competitor. I guess we're probably just going to go with this other system because it's cheaper. I would ask him this. I would say, okay, sir, I understand. Okay, because you want to kind of agree with him. Not saying he's always right, but you're at least agreeing with him, because you won't get anywhere by saying, oh, no, that's not a lot of money. If the guy says, oh, $10,000, man, that's a lot of money for my roof. Never, never disagree. Don't ever say, oh, that ain't a lot of money. Always agree with your customer. So, yeah, I agree, Mr. Building Owner. $10,000 is a lot of money. I agree. But again, you know, you called us, you have a problem with the roof, and here's a solution. I agree. We're not doing a Band-Aid. We're not patching it. So bring value to it. But now you're going to go back to them and you're going to say, okay, if our product, if it cost exactly the same, if I was the same price as the competitor down the road, what are some things that you would like better about our company? And I said, let's pull a pen and paper out. Let's make a list. What are the pros of going with our company over the competitor? What do you like better about us? And he'll write down, well, you know, I do like it better that you got a 15-year warranty. He's only given a 10-year warranty. Okay, good. What else? It's called the what else clause. All right. What else? He might say, well, you know, you live 20 minutes from here and the other guy lives an hour and a half away. Okay, good. What else? It could be, they might say, well, you guys are a small company and the other company's they're a big company. Okay, good. What else? It could be as simple as, well, I like you better than the other guy, but I'm having a problem with $3,000 difference for that. Okay, good. What else? And get the value of it. And he's going to say, well, you know, I like it that your manufacturer's been in business for 45 years. I like it that you guys seem very reputable and you've done projects in the area. You seem like you know what you're doing. Okay, good. What else? Well, I like it that you're taping the seams. I like it that you guys are hitting every fastener head because they're not doing that. Okay, good. What else? And he might say, well, you know, no, I don't know. That's kind of all I'm thinking about right now. Okay, now you can go back and you can say, Mr. Building Owner, can you see why we're $3,000 more in price? And he's like, yeah, I guess I can see that. Okay, let's go ahead and do it. I'd love to work with you. And at that point, he's got a decision to make because now you've just brought and created value to your system instead of, you know, bashing somebody else's system to try to sell your system because that don't work. So that's my suggestion. When you're getting objections, number one is raise the value of your product and your services. Raise the value of what we're doing because when value exceeds price, people pay money for that. So, and then, maybe compare some things there. What do you like better about us?
Okay, I like that a lot better than maybe get that other contract out and say, oh, they're only given a 5-year labor warranty. Let the building owner bring out the value is what you're doing, correct?
Yep. He's pointing out what he likes better about you. Now you're just helping him sell himself on you, you know.
Rather than say, oh, they're only going to put a gallon and a half per square down and they're not going to put a primer down. Because if you do that, there's a possibility that you're going to go on some other bunny trail or bring up some other objections. But if you let him bring the value, I like that a lot. That's wonderful. Okay, I think you handled that well, and I'm sure that I was listening to Grant Cardone the other day, and he said always agree with them, but then come back, and you brought that out very, very well there about agreeing with them. So we've done everything right, and, well, you know, I've got a partner in this business, and I'm going to have to visit with him about this. I got to talk to my partner.
Okay.
What do you say then?
Well, I might ask him if he cares if we can do. Is there any way I can schedule to sit with your partner? Is there any way I can, we can help make this decision together? It could even be a wife situation where the guy's like, I want to talk with my spouse about it because that happens too. Depends on what kind of business you're dealing with. On a larger business, you'll have a partner. Like we did a bid on Tuesday, and the son of the, so it was a father-son ownership, and the son would sign the paperwork right there. I mean, he said it was a $40-some-thousand project, and we handed the bid in, and he said, I'll tell you right now, I mean, I want to go ahead with it. Let me call my dad. He said, well, you guys write up the bid. And then his dad wanted to see the demos that we did, and at that point, he said, well, he's going to take some stuff back, and he's going to show his dad. But if we do get an objection where he's like, well, dad's not sure about going with it, then I would try to get a meeting with dad and the son, you know, the partnership together. I would try to do that.
So if they come up, they come up with that third party or partner line, what you try to do is you go try to meet with that third party or call them on the phone, or you have anything more you want to add to that part of it?
You know, if it's a spouse situation, the guy might say, well, you know, my wife and I were talking about it, and she's kind of leaning on just going with the cheapest thing. Because it happens. There's a lot of businesses that are, you know, there might be a 10,000 square foot building, and the man owns it, the husband and wife own it together, and he's like, well, we usually talk about this together. Because those situations happen. He's like, I'm sold on your system. I would ask him this, what are you going to do if your wife says no? And if he's like, oh, she's not going to say no, then I just say, okay, let's just do it now, you know? You know? But a partnership situation, it, you know, definitely sometimes there's a lot of times on really big roofs, they're going to have to take it back to the board. And so what you're just hoping that you can do is often you're going to be dealing with a maintenance guy that might brought you the, well, you guys are just a little higher than somebody else. But here's what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to influence Mr. Maintenance Man, which hopefully and usually does carries influence to the board. The maintenance guy gets the bids and you have to impress him, and then he's going to take it to the board, or he's going to take it to the owners that they do their board meeting every month or whatever it is. And hopefully he can represent your company. I ask them all the time. I say, hey, is there any way you guys want us to come to the board meeting? And he said, no, I understand what you're doing and I like you guys. Okay, good. And now I know that he's going to take us and represent us well at the board. He says, maintenance guys tell us all the time, we're rooting for you guys. You know, I'm going to be pushing at the board meeting for you guys. Okay, good. And then I'm okay with that, because anytime a relationship carry influence, where if you can build somewhat of a relationship up with the maintenance guy is going to have a relationship with the building owner. If you go directly to the board meeting, you're not going to actually oftentimes maybe be quite as good as the maintenance guy. So you've influenced the maintenance guy, and he's going to influence the board, because now you've kind of got that relationship stepping up.
Okay. All right. Very good. And I've got one more for you, and then we're going to take maybe about two questions from our listeners tonight, because I don't want to keep the last too long, as I promised him 10, 15 minutes. But so while we're going on one more, if you think of any others, here's your opportunity to shout them out. But you've done everything well, things are going well, and then the guy says, well, I need to think about it.
Okay. So if a guy says, I need to think about it, thinking about it isn't the real objection. Something, he's not certain in his mind about something. So if he's saying, I need to think about it, it just tells you automatically there's some things he's not sure about in his mind about your product, your system, your company, something he's not sold on. And so usually if he says, well, I really need to think about it, I would ask him this. I'd just say, well, what do you think? You know, a couple days, 2-3 days, what do you think in a couple weeks? Because now you're kind of agreeing with him, 2-3 days, 2-3 weeks. And if he comes back and he goes, well, you know, I was thinking a couple days. Okay, good. And then I would ask him this, can I share the questions that you're going to have if you're, you know, in 3 days from now? And this is something that you want to get yourself familiar with. But he's like, what are some questions that you might have? And can I share the 3 questions that you're going to have in 3 days? And he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. And I would ask him this. I'd say, well, first of all, you feel like, you know, you called us with a leaky roof. You feel like our system that we proposed to do for you, you feel like that's a system that you could get behind. You feel like that's something that would stop those leaks and get you guys taken care of for the next 20 years. Are you sold on that? Are you sold on that fact? And if he says, well, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't really done any research on your system. Okay, good. Now you've actually dealing with the real issue, because you've enclosed, you've showed he's now saying actually what the problem is. He's not sure that he likes what you're proposing to do. And so then maybe you can direct him to the right website, or you can get him the right information that he needs to read on, or maybe you can just verbally tell him. Well, you know, give them a little history on the Conklin Company. They've been around 45 years. They got a great system. You know, maybe you can even get him a roof. Would you be interested in maybe looking at a roof that we've done in the last year or 5 years, or, you know, somebody in the area might have one done 15, 20 years ago. Would you maybe take a look? So now you can actually deal with the real objection. But a lot of times they're like, oh, I can tell what you guys are doing. It's a good system. Okay, good, great. Then I would ask them number two. You know, we talked about that the roof's going to cost you $50,000 to do. Is the money in a problem? Is that an issue to you guys? And again, if he says, well, it's more money than we wanted to spend. Okay, so maybe he's not created value. Or he says, a lot of times, big companies are going to be like, we can get behind the $50,000. That's not what we're, objection that we're holding us back on. Okay, good. And then ask him this. Third and final question I'd have for you guys. You feel like we're the kind of company that you guys would like to do business with? And, again, he's probably going to say, yeah, I have guys that tell me this. Elias, he said, you're a nice guy. I can tell you're the kind of guy that we'd like to do business with. You're a mover, you're never holding still. Okay, good. Let's just go ahead and get it done. And so, you've helped him actually make a decision. We have to realize that we have to help these building owners make a decision. It's the same way when you're sponsoring people. You have to help them make a decision. And if you're not sold on the fact that our roofing system for that building owner or our opportunity for a contractor to get started with us is the best thing he could do, you're not going to sell effectively. So if you're not going to sell, if you're not sold on that, number one, you need to get sold on it, then you can sell it. But it's just a nice little way to help, help that guy make a decision or actually, get the real objection on the table.
All right. Very good. I don't know if there's any others that you can think of that I didn't come across, or maybe we'll take a couple of questions from our listeners. If anybody has a question, hit *6 and you will be unmuted. This has been really, really good, Elias. I like it. Any of our listeners have a question for Elias that you have met out there in the marketplace when you were selling a roof?
This is Jacob Lee from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jacob.
I had a customer that asked me, what they wanted to know is what kind of safety training we do, and they think that we have to have some kind of a safety training. What do you do in a case like that?
So we just had that asked the other day as well at a church. The guy asked, what kind of safety precautions do you guys take on the roof? And my response back to that is just really simple. What would you guys like to see us take? And he'll tell you, well, we'd like to see you guys get up to OSHA standards. All right, we'll make sure we do that on this project. We had a project out in Pennsylvania here that we lost, and we just literally lost it because our competitor, it was a big job, and the guy said he liked their system, he liked the guy that was bidding it, everything. He said the only reason that our competitor got the job was because they were basically doubling up OSHA standards, and instead of just putting a rope around the roof, they were actually putting almost like a railing around the roof, and they liked that better. And that's why we lost the job to them. And it was just, we didn't know that that's what they wanted. And when they said, what do you guys take for safety standards? We were just like, we're going to be OSHA compliant. Okay. And that was it. But just ask them, what would you guys like to see? Well, from you guys' aspect standpoint, what would you guys like to see and what would you guys require for us to be here? And we'll work up to that. Everybody's going to be different on that. Every building owner is going to be different on that. Some guys don't care and some guys really, really care.
Yeah, you handled that very well. That was a great question, and I'm sure that comes up every now and then. And you could do what Elias said, and also you could say we have a safety or we have an OSHA checklist that we go by, which we gave you at the roof system training. And then you could say, could we come back to you with what we do as far as OSHA requirements? And then you could, could I come back tomorrow with you with a list of what we do? Or maybe you want to get a list put together and have that in your briefcase, but find out what they want, agree with them, and try to get back with them with something that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, well, I kind of think in this case they're kind of going to want some special safety stuff. It's a really big roof, and it's definitely going to be worth doing anything, whatever it takes. So I really, really appreciate you, that idea. I think it's going to work. So.
And I we encourage this, you know, at, when we do our roadmap and our safety, you know, if you would sit down with your employees, you know, maybe a half an hour every 30 days or every week, and then you could, you know, when those guys ask, you say, hey, we have a safety meeting every Monday morning at 8 o'clock for 30 minutes, or we do it the first Monday of every month, we have a safety meeting. You know, if you would do that, then you could honestly answer back to that building owner. So, okay, very good. Let's take one more question for Elias before we let him go on overcoming some objections that you have had before or that you're dealing with.
Hey, Elias.
Yep.
Yeah, this is Chester from Missouri, not Ambry, but...
You won't forget that, will you? That's funny.
Hey, you got a question. I had a guy that, well, I've done a follow-up on him, and he says, told me that, man, I can put up a new building for the price you gave me. And he says, I know you're good, but, man, I can't afford you.
Okay.
What kind of response?
So one thing we have to remember as well is we're not going to get every project, okay? That's one thing we're going to remember. I mean, we can get a lot higher percentage than what a lot of us do just by learning some ways to close. But I've had that guy. I had a guy tell me that once as well. He said, "Oh man, this is more expensive than the lot I bought the building on." Okay, good, great. But you know, again, you called me with a problem. Here's my solution, and I hope we can work together. I understand it's a lot of money. It might be a $50,000 or $100,000. A bid or whatever. I understand it's a lot of money. So this is maybe something that you'll get more even than, saying a whole new building like this. It could be the guy says, if you're doing a metal restoration bid, we've got this a fair amount, where the guy says, well, you know, I could, for that price, I could maybe look at that. That'd be a pretty good chunk of change towards just putting a new roof on there. And then you can maybe bring out again the value of what you're doing. So again, the steel's not bad. I don't know your situation, but the steel wasn't bad. It's a low slope steel roof. You know, here's why you're having these problems. And you bring the value in again of your system. We're going to be totally waterproof when we're done on a low slope steel roof like this. So, you know, sometimes in a situation like that, you know, you might not get the project. I'm being just honest about it, but I would ask him, you know, why did you call me? Because you might have to go back in and resell it. Why did you call me? You guys got leaks on your building. Or he'll say, well, you know, I got leaks on the building and everything. Okay, this is what we're going to have to do. Don't compromise. You know, some people say negotiate. And I say, you know, up their skill set. That's what I say. If you can negotiate, you're going to end up, you know, dropping your price and everything else. And that's actually not, a reputable company is not going to do that. So, I don't know if that helps towards that question, because it wasn't a real direct answer, but
yeah, that's a help. So, thanks a lot anyway.
Thank you, Chester. All right, let's take one more question. Anybody got a question for Elias on overcoming objection or rejection, whatever you want to call it? Maybe while they're thinking about it, Elias, you want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing Saturday, or?
Okay. We're pretty much going to spend a whole day on what we would consider just kind of continued education in the commercial roofing market. And so we're going to, first of all, we're going to start the day out. If you have any guests there, if any of you guys bring guests to it, we'll get them familiarized a little bit with our systems and what we're doing. So they have a good idea as far as, you know, that'll help them make a decision to set up an account. And then we're going to talk about, spend an hour on, like, basically in short, solving problems, because we're all in a business to solve problems. Mr. Building Owner calls you, he has a leak on his building, and you're going to get in there and solve his problem. The bigger the problem, the more you're going to get paid. So, and we're going to talk about, you know, basically problem solving, how we can also take problems that we might create through a leak on a roof that we didn't do right, and how we can turn that in from thinking, oh, this is a bad situation, to literally making him one of the most, you know, one of your best clients, how to turn that, you know, potential problem into one of your best clients. We're going to cover that for an hour. on solving problems. We're going to talk about, after that, my brother Matthias is going to talk about objections, a little bit of what we covered on the call here tonight, but he's going to go in depth on how to be more effective in selling jobs. And, I mean, there's nobody probably in the entire Conklin company that's more qualified to do that than my brother Matthias. I mean, I take the calls for our roofing business for the last 5-6 years. And if I would send him out to do a bid, and it was less than $30,000 bid, I would just pretty much expect him to come home with a check. I mean, and he did it over and over and over. So he's really, really good at going out and selling roofs, and he's going to try to help all of you guys that attend this just learn some new tips and some new stuff to just, you know, hopefully close in a couple extra jobs for you this year. And then we're going to talk about momentum. And in short, you know, you can stop a train by putting a block of wood in front of that train track, in front of that wheel, and 1-inch block of wood, that train can't go. But once that train's going, it can go through a 4-foot concrete wall and just blow right through it and not even hardly know it hit anything. And so that's kind of how we want to build our business. We want to get momentum going forward. And so we're going to talk about that as well. So it's just kind of a day of hopefully creating a lot of energy, giving a lot of people some really good insights and tips on how to actually go out and be better at selling projects and closing deals and solving problems. And hopefully, bottom line, create a lot of energy for all you guys.
And I would just encourage anybody, if you're within driving distance or if you want to come in the night before, I was there a couple of years or last year, and just a truckload of information that you're going to take home with you to help you be better when you're out there. I think maybe we have, does anybody else have one more question for Elias, and then we're going to bring this to a close? Okay, Elias, thank you so much for being on the call this evening. You brought out a tremendous amount of practical information that guys can use each and every day out there in the field. So thank you very much for being on the call this evening with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, anybody, I'm hoping maybe 2-3 guys would shout out some of the successes that they're having in the last 10 days. Anybody want to share with us what's been happening for you? It's *6 and you will be unmuted.
This is Jacob Lee from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jacob.
I just want to, we did a home show last week, and we walked away with about 10 leads. We had a couple 2,000 and 1,000 square foot jobs, and then we had an 8,000 square foot lead and an 80,000 square foot lead. So just wanted to let everybody know home shows do pay off sometimes. So.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Home shows do generate lots of leads, so great going there. Appreciate you sharing that. Okay, who else has some success that they would like to share this evening? Either a signed contract you got or maybe a lead from a flyer you did or anything at all.
Lester, this is Elias again.
Yes, Elias.
I was texting Aaron Hirschberger today, and he's in Jonathan Gingrich's organization. And I know today he said he got an 18,000 square foot foam job. So he said it was a very good day.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah, there's guys, cool. A lot of guys right now signing contracts. It's a really, really good time to be out there, you know, getting attention, promoting everything and bidding jobs and getting contracts. It's the right time of the year.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. I was helping one of my guys last week, helping put a bid together on a 59,000 square foot MR job, and the only reason he got the lead on it is because of somebody that he knows, of somebody that knows this building owner. So just let all your family and friends know what you're doing and
yep.
Get them really good leads that way.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's go out and build it. Let's build it big and fast and get to the next training or meeting that you can. And you can go to roofingpal.com and get all the information on the workshop, the deal coming up Saturday in Pennsylvania, and of course, Cotlin keeps adding trainings on the website, so go to the Cotlin website for all the information there. So thank you guys very much for being on the call this evening. And again, remember, April 6th is going to be a great call for prospect. And we will talk to you all again next Monday night. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you.